flying desecration statutes were actually quite common throughout the 20th century, and they came before the Supreme Court in the 1980s after having been disputed for some time on lower court levels. When it came before the court, they had to decide whether or not the First and 14th Amendment protected the act of burning a flag as an aspect of protest against the United States government. And in a couple of cases, decided in both 1989 and 1990, the Supreme Court ruled that, in fact, the First and 14th Amendment do protect your right to engage in this kind of symbolic conduct. Laws that prohibit the desecration or defiling of a flag, according to the court, don't simply punish you because of your method of destroying a flag. I mean, flags get old and they have to be destroyed. Instead, what was happening is that these laws were punishing people for destroying a flag in a manner that sends a message of disrespect. But according to the court, the Constitution protects our right to refuse to respect the current government, its official symbols, or any other aspect of society with which we disagree. And the Constitution protects our right to communicate this disrespect, no matter how much and how upsetting our views may be to other people.
So apparently, though, there still is a law on the books in the state of Illinois in regards to flag desecration. I would imagine then that that law is in direct conflict with the Supreme Court ruling?
But the law, I haven't studied the Illinois law beyond looking it up when I first found out about this case. And as far as I can tell, the language in the Illinois statute, which prohibits any person from, quote, publicly mutilating, defacing, or defiling a United States flag, is exactly the same language that was struck down by the Supreme Court in the Eichmann case, which involved the federal statute, which also prohibited anyone from knowingly mutilating, defacing, or physically defiling of the United States flag. So it seems to me, simply on its face, this would be treated as an unconstitutional statute. And frankly, I'm rather surprised that it would be enforced by police, given this rather clear existence of case law that's been on the books for some time.
Since the Supreme Court ruled in these cases in the late 80s, early 90s, what can you tell us about attempts to create a constitutional amendment to prohibit flag burning?
Well, this would be the only way that these kinds of statutes or efforts could be constitutional. There, for some time, members of Congress and also in state legislatures believed that they could narrowly craft a statute that would comply with the current First Amendment and 14th Amendment to the Constitution, but all of their efforts were challenged and were struck down by the Supreme Court, both state laws and federal laws, on the grounds that this was an effort to shut down a particular communication, a particular form of symbolic speech protected by the Constitution. So efforts began in both state legislatures seeking to petition Congress and on the floor of Congress itself to amend the Constitution to make an exception, to allow for a narrowly crafted amendment to the Constitution that would allow governments, whether state governments or federal governments, to prohibit this type of disrespectful destruction of a flag. It's been repeatedly introduced on the floor of the House and the Senate of the United States, but this idea of amending the Constitution, but it's never received the requisite supermajority that it would require to even put it as a proposal before the American people themselves.
It also appears that in this case, the man was also charged with disorderly conduct, and that sounds like a law that can be pretty broadly interpreted. What are some examples, of disorderly conduct, and could something like this fall under those parameters?
Well, this is a very interesting aspect of the case, because apparently what was going on is that the police were notified. And again, I'm getting these facts from what's already on in the published reports. I'm not deeply familiar with all the facts of the case, but it appears as if the police received phone calls that there was a Facebook post that was receiving very inflammatory reactions from people, that people were threatening this individual who had posted this Facebook page with his picture of a burning flag and his statements of objection against cultural discrimination and against police brutality. And in fact, on the Facebook page itself, I'm pretty sure, it included a hashtag which declared, "Arrest me." Well, the police complied on the basis of the phone calls that they were receiving. And they complied due to the fact that apparently they were concerned that his speech, his Facebook page, was creating a danger a danger both to himself and to his employer, who was named in the actual Facebook post itself. So the police, believing that he was creating a danger to himself and a danger to third parties, that amounted to disorderly conduct, which could be prohibited by the police, something along the lines of someone inciting a riot that might, in certain circumstances, be subject to police response. But in this case, of course, he wasn't inciting a riot. There's no evidence that he was gathering people or that he was engaging in trying to harm himself. What was happening is that others were communicating threats. Others were seeking to either harm or vandalize or seek some type of action against him or his employer. And instead of the police, of course, going after the people issuing the threats, the police decided to shut down the speech itself. And that's problematic. The court has talked about this for many decades. It's called the problem of the heckler's veto. And that occurs when someone dislikes what you're saying, so they threaten to harm you or they threaten to cause a riot, and then they cause the police to come and arrest you because you're creating the conditions for a riot. The Supreme Court has ruled that the police should not respond to these obvious attempts to shut down a speaker. Instead, they should arrest the heckler, the person issuing the threats, and not the speaker themselves.
Kurt Lash directs the program in constitutional theory, history, and law at the University of Illinois. Professor Lash, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Brian.